Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we have sung God's praise, let us also turn to him in prayer. And let's give him thanks for our dear loved one, sister and friend Evelyn. And let's seek his comfort. Let's pray. Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we bless and worship you today, our good and gracious God. We thank you in your limitless and boundless mercy. We thank you, Lord, that we can now draw near, knowing you as our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, we come and ask for your help and your comfort today. Lord, you remember that we are dust. Help us in our loss and sorrow. Help Evelyn's family especially, and comfort them with hope. And Lord, would you please be near to her son, Dave, to Evelyn's grandchildren, Matthew and Nathan, and to her brother, David, and his wife, Mavis. Lord, we want to thank you and to praise you for the life that you gave to Evelyn, and for everlasting life in Christ Jesus, which is now more fully hers. Lord, we thank you for a good life and for a long life, a life well lived of 94 years. Thank you, Lord, for your never failing faithfulness to Evelyn. We bless you for her many years of service overseas in Brazil, which she often recalled. We thank you for her work with Baptist Mid-Missions and for her part in the life of this church and fellowship along with her husband Roy. Lord, it is good to remember these things in which she also delighted. And Lord, may we be assured and comforted today that our dear friend and loved one, Evelyn, is rejoicing in the real presence of her Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, a God of wonderful grace and mercy. And Lord, let us find the comfort that we need. And let your loving kindness come upon Evelyn's family. Comfort her friends and all who are sad today. Lord, grant them your assurance and help them. And thank you, Lord, for her wider church family gathered with us this morning. Be our help and comfort too. Lord, we bless you for every fond and loving memory of Evelyn. May all our sorrow be touched with joy as we remember her today and know that she is now with you, Lord, and in your presence. And so may we know your wonderful peace today. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So I just want to share a few brief thoughts and memories about Evelyn, which her son Dave and her friend Pamela have put together for us this morning. Evelyn was born in Norwich on the 3rd of December 1929 and spent 8 years as a child in India. She moved to Purley in 1939, where she attended Purley Baptist Church. And if you spent time with Evelyn, you know she often spoke about her time there. And this, of course, is where she met Roy. She became a secondary school teacher in 1952, whilst Roy Chalacombe became a missionary in Brazil and proposed to Evelyn via a letter in 1956. That made me smile when she told me that. They were married the next year in 1957, and Evelyn became a missionary alongside Roy in Fort Leeser. Their son, Dave, was born in Croydon in 1962 during furlough, and their daughter, Christine, in Rio Branco in 1964. Roy and Evelyn both served in Rio Branco, building new churches from 1962 to 1976. And then in 1976 to 1977, they both taught at the Baptist Mid-Missions College in Manaus. Both Roy and Evelyn decided that there was a greater need for missionary work here in the UK. And from 1977 through to 79, they moved and lived in Wandsworth to allow their children to finish their education, and then moved to Marchwood near Southampton, where they both served at the Marchwood Gospel Church from 1979 to 1997. In 1997, they decided to move one final time to Ivybridge, where they both served here at Ivybridge Baptist Church until Roy's passing in 2006. Evelyn, of course, continued to be a loved and valued member of the fellowship here until her passing in March. One of her friends in the fellowship, Pamela, tells us that Evelyn was a great storyteller. I mean, who doesn't love stories about jungle adventures and huge spiders and snakes making surprise appearances? She loved to talk about her time as a missionary in Brazil with her family using real-life examples and experiences, of which, of course, she had many. And she used these to teach and share Bible truths and to tell the stories of other missionaries as well. Evelyn was young at heart and always up for a challenge. She helped to run the Treasure Seekers, the after-school club in church, for quite a few years with Pamela. She was great at bringing the Bible to life. Evelyn engaged and encouraged both children and helpers with her straight talking and sense of humor. She not only helped with Bible stories and quizzes, she joined in with the games, much to the children's delight, playing duck, duck, goose, balloon volleyball, unihoc, fruit basket, and Chinese ladders. If you don't know what they are, you'll have to ask Pamela afterwards, I think. The children thought that she was an easy target, but they soon discovered that they ought not to underestimate her. When the ladies in the church started a keep fit class, Evelyn was there every week, sometimes as a cheerleader, but mostly joining in and showing the youngsters up with her stamina, but always with a story or short Bible message to encourage. Evelyn was always part of the church fellowships, prayer groups, Bible studies, quiz and games nights, art and craft, walks and hikes, barbecues and picnics. She loved having fun and watching others have fun as well. She loved cheering on the games of rounders in the Yabsley's field, which was apparently the highlight of the barbecues for some of the more competitive folk in the fellowship. The art and craft group, which was started by Patricia and Evelyn as an outreach, grew and flourished as friends and neighbours came along and became regulars. Both the old and young loved Evelyn for her practical wisdom and for her godliness and for her willingness to help out wherever it was needed, which included babysitting and dog walking over the years. Evelyn made her mark on many of the young people who have grown up in the church. They are left with good memories because she made time for them and had a real interest in them. A young lady in the fellowship shared a memory. She says, "I have some very fond memories throughout my childhood. The stories she told us of her time in the Amazon blew my mind and have stuck with me. And I'll never forget when my brother was getting a little bit too arrogant at 11 years old. He wanted to play hockey, but didn't have anyone his age to play with. Evelyn challenged him, and he scoffed that she was too old. But they played anyway, and she put him firmly back in his place. He didn't stand a chance of beating her." I'm sure there are many other memories that we could share and remember and rejoice as we remember Evelyn together. But we're going to turn to God's word again, and I'm going to read a short passage in Mark's Gospel, Mark in chapter 14, and reading the first 9 verses. We read these words. "After 2 days it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take Jesus by trickery and put him to death. But they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people.' And being in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came in having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, 'Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Amen. So let me just thank you for taking the time to be with us here today, especially if you've come some distance. It's good for Evelyn's family to have the support of her friends around them at this time. And it's good for us all to gather here and celebrate and remember her life and her faith, which had a significant impact and was a significant part of her life. We're all glad to have known someone like Evelyn. She was an example to all of us. She had such a constant, lifelong conviction of faith. And we give thanks today for her integrity and for her faithfulness, for her long and full life, a life of 94 years, full of the Lord's blessing and kindness to her and kindness to us through knowing and loving her. All of us have particular and fond memories of Evelyn, perhaps some in the prime of her life, perhaps some from her later years, and perhaps in the many years and in the many different ways in which she lived out her faith. Evelyn loved and served the Lord Jesus, and she was doing that into her 70s and 80s and beyond. She was remarkably fit and sprightly, often still walking to and from church and into the village from her home well into her 90s. And you will know that she had a certain independence, which was only affected by a gradual mental decline in the last few years. And so this is a service of remembrance, but this is a service of thanksgiving and of remembering. It's a funeral service. And I don't want to apologize for speaking about the Lord Jesus and of the gospel which Evelyn both knew and loved and believed. And so I want to turn to that passage in Mark's gospel this morning in chapter 14. So here's a passage that to many of us, perhaps most, if not all of us here this morning, is a very familiar passage. In a sense, it is also a passage about a funeral service, but a funeral service with a difference. See, the Lord Jesus, whom this passage is about, is very much still alive. And so this is perhaps what we might call nowadays one of those living funerals where you can gather and remember and recount and celebrate together a life before one's decease. I happen to have a red letter Bible in front of me where the words of Jesus are all written out in red, and towards the end of the passage, the words of Jesus are clear in verse 6 through verse 9. It's a couple of days before the Passover, as verse 1 indicates. And Jesus is with a small group of friends and of disciples, as we're told in verse 3. Actually, he's at the home of a man whom the Lord Jesus had met and healed and whose life he had changed. Simon the leper. But that name is a bit of a misnomer, because he's a leper no more, having been cleansed and received new life from the Lord Jesus. The chief priests and the scribes, the enemies of Jesus, some of them are also present at this time, just before the feast of Passover, which celebrated God delivering his people from bondage and from death. And yet here they are plotting and planning together how they might put Jesus to death, as we're told in verse 1. And so we see that the Lord Jesus, both in life and in death, divided people. He still does. Jesus came to share a message to save sinners, but with a message which continues to this day to divide the world and its people into sheep and goats. There are those who love him, like Simon and his friends and others who were gathered there on that occasion, and those who hated him and wished that he was simply out of their hair and out of the way. Because the Lord Jesus is a challenge. He's a challenge to how we all live. He's a challenge to the way that we want to live our lives. And the Son of God is either our Savior, our Master, and our friend, or a stumbling block and an inconvenience. Someone who gets in the way of how we want to do things. Now, Jesus, of course, knew the reason for his coming and that his time in this world was close at hand. 1 Timothy 1:15 tells us this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And to do this, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to die. And he knew this in verse 8. As this woman comes in and anoints him, it was for his burial. And so we meet this nameless woman in verse 3. In fact, she does have a name. It's the name of every woman or man who knows and loves the Lord Jesus. And Evelyn is one of those people. And I want you to notice three things about her. First of all, this is an act of love. We're told that whilst he was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper in verse 3, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Now, faith is something which is unfathomable to the unbelieving. Literally, they cannot see the good news and what it means. It simply doesn't make any sense at all. It's more of a story about a man who lived and died a long time ago. But to those who believe, it is the head and the heart working together. Faith makes absolute sense and is wonderfully good news. It's believing with the heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and confessing with the mouth that God raised him up from the dead. It's not unthinking love, where you suspend all thoughts and your brain just goes out of the window, and neither is it unfeeling assent, just giving assent to a body of words. This woman in verse 3 is either Mary Magdalene or Lazarus' sister Mary. The Lord Jesus cast several demons out of Mary Magdalene and so gave her back a new life. He raised Lazarus from the dead and gave him back to her sister. And so both of these women received a wonderful gift and a wonderful blessing from the Lord Jesus. And their experience and their encounter with Jesus convicted them. They heard the word of God and felt the power of God through the Lord Jesus. And this convinced them that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God. They didn't understand even now what he was about to do in verse 8, to die on the cross for their sin and ours, for their forgiveness and ours. But they knew who he was and who he is. And all who name him Lord and Savior know that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus once said, if I can paraphrase him, he or she who is forgiven much loves much. Evelyn, like this woman here in verse 3, knew in her heart what the Lord Jesus had done for her, and she loved him for it. How does that work? Well, it's by faith. It's not of ourselves. It doesn't arise in ourselves. It's the grace of God at work. It's his gift to us. His word says, we love him because he first loved us. So Evelyn loved the Lord. But secondly, this is an act of sacrifice. You notice the outrage and the criticism that is mentioned there in verse 4. There were many who were ready to scoff and scorn and criticize those who follow the Lord Jesus, and there still are today. To many, this was a wasteful act. It was a waste of time. It was a waste of effort. It was a waste of affection and a waste of money. Spikenard was a rather rare and expensive perfume, and verse 5 tells us that it was very costly. 300 denarii is about a year's wages. But she gave it gladly for the Lord Jesus. This was her sacrifice of love and gratitude to the Lord. Now, if you spent time with Evelyn, she would tell you about Pearly Baptist Church, or about her time in Brazil, or about her work here in Ivybridge and for Baptist Mid-Missions. Those years of her life were her sacrifice. Evelyn gave years of her life and service to the Lord, but she did it gladly. She would have quickly disabused you of any romantic notion of missionary life and work out on the mission field. It was tough, and it was costly, and it was dangerous at times. And she sacrificed much and more beside. In those days, missionaries were not allowed to have their children with them. That's hard on the children, but it's hard on the parents, on the mother too. We're told that the Lord Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. The Lord Jesus laid down and laid aside his life for you and me. And just as this woman here in verse 3 pouring this expensive oil on the head of the Lord Jesus, Evelyn reciprocated her Savior's love and sacrifice. She loved and served the Lord in the great mission field of life. This was an act of sacrifice. But thirdly, this was an act which was remembered. Now, I'm absolutely certain that the woman in verse 3 had no idea or notion at all of what the Lord Jesus was going to say in verse 9. She didn't do this so that she might get something back, or that she might earn some kind of favor. No one can get themselves into God's good books. No one can earn a place in heaven or work their way there. She did this because faith that is real is faith which cannot hide itself. This is why Evelyn continued to serve into her 70s, 80s, and even 90s. As well as a time in Brazil, because her faith was real and couldn't be hid. She did this because of the so great salvation that she had received. It's because of this that Christians are compelled to serve the Lord Jesus. But the amazing thing is that the Lord not only gives salvation to those who repent and believe, but many other rewards as well. One of those is the fact that he remembers our faith and our works. I'm sure that Evelyn would tell me off for what I've said this morning, but God's word speaks of those who rest from their labors and their works follow them. That's Evelyn. And that's something that you can take out of this world. Ultimately, the gospel, the good news which is proclaimed there in verse 9, is a good news of sins forgiven, of peace with God, and of everlasting life. It is your name, Evelyn's name, written in the Lord's book of life. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whenever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." The Lord remembers. We're sad in our loss today, but our dear sister is sitting down in glory now. And all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be with the Lord and where Evelyn is one day. Everlasting life in his presence, in a new heavens and a new earth forevermore. That's a wonderful reward. That's an act of grace. And that's our confidence. That's our comfort today. And indeed, is the comfort of all those who love him and are remembered by him. We're going to stand and sing one last time the hymn on your order of service, which again has a special significance to Evelyn in her time out in Brazil. Rock of ages, cleft for me, hide me now, my refuge be. Lord, be with us all now as we go from here, especially be with Evelyn's family. Bless your word to them today so that they may be comforted in knowing that Evelyn is safe in the hand of her Saviour, Jesus Christ. And may we all know his help and his comfort and his assurance today. And what a loving Heavenly Father we have through faith. Let your grace and your peace be all our consolation today. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.